Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create and grow income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Are you tired of trading your time for money? Do you desire freedom today instead of retirement in 10, 20, or 30 years? I'm MC Lobster, and this is the Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I'm MC Lobster. Thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Cashflow Ninja and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me for another episode. Appreciate all the emails. Appreciate all of the contact. People just sharing that they love our new format. They appreciate especially the 5th year anniversary episode. So really thank you for letting us know how we do. Another thing too, we're on all the different platforms. We actually have a lot of folks now on lbry.tv. It's also like, I guess you have to download an app called Odyssey that you can access that on, but there's a lot of people moving from different platforms like YouTube over there. Also, a lot of folks are following us on BitChute. So we are on BitChute, lbry.tv. We're on all the different platforms. We're on all the podcast platforms. So on whatever platform you're enjoying this content, please let us know how we are doing and leave a comment, give us a share if you think what we're doing here is valuable and you appreciate the information that we keep putting out. Please share it with your family, friends, and your community. We also launched our program, the Cashflow Core Builder. You could sign up for that program at cashflowninja.com/core. In that, we're going to share how you can build a strategy to position yourself during, because it's already started, the greatest wealth transfer in human history. My guest today, returning guest on the show, I've been looking forward to having this conversation again. Always appreciated him coming on, Lior Gantz from the Wealth Research Group. How have you been, my friend?
I've been very well and excited to be here again.
So what is going on in your worldview? What are you seeing out there in 2020, in 2021? What, if you want to give us a recap of 2020, some of the things that you think that is important to know as we go and move further into 2021, because we just wrapped up the first quarter and it's crazy.
Yeah, I think in 2020, we saw two different types of resets. We didn't see a currency reset, which is what many people think of when they say a reset, but we did see a policy reset and a healthcare reset. Obviously, the healthcare reset happened, you know, by mistake, not by mistake, many different theories about that, but let's just summarize it by the fact that healthcare has never been more relevant, right? We saw what medical breakthroughs can do. We saw how important everything that has to do with drug development and with allowing the free markets to kind of work. So that was a big reset. And I think that will not end in 2021. We will see many more years where drugs and medicine, breakthrough technologies that have to do with biopharma will appear in our lives. And I think that's actually really good. Moderna, for example, they announced that this technology that they basically built, it's almost like a software update where they can start cranking out dozens of new products every year. This is unusual and uncanny for a drug company. So that's a big reset. A lot of money has been put into R&D for drugs, right? Okay. Then we have the policy reset. Trump is out of office. You have Biden. Biden is like changing everything that Trump did, like scratch, tax cuts, scratch. Foreign policy on Russia, China, and Middle East, scratch. So you see two big resets. And those actually have to play into the way that you live your life, you do your business, you invest your money. And then the third one, this currency reset, we haven't seen it. I think it's a long ways away. When I say long ways away, I think it's like 5 to 10 years out. Unless something really big happens with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general, where central banks start to buy them, and that can really shake up the confidence in the dollar. The fact that Elon Musk has talked about, hey, we, Tesla accepts Bitcoin, Visa works with it, PayPal, that these are all good. But when a government is ready to act on this or a central bank, that's going to be like 1913 when the Fed was founded, and then boom, it's a new currency system, 1944 with the Bretton Woods agreements, or 1971. With what we currently have, or 1991 with the formation of the euro. So these are big currency events Obviously, 2008 with the formation of Bitcoin, that was big, but have Bitcoin. Okay, so we have these two big resets, MC, and I think those were really important. I think what we also saw is a big reset in what we call the trickle effect. So for 10 years, we've been hearing that we're gonna print money, the Fed is gonna monetize the debt, the corporations are gonna get all of this cheap loans, and it's gonna start trickling down because they're very prudent entrepreneurs, capitalists. It's gonna trickle down to the average person. He's gonna be enjoying this as much as they are. It proved to be a fallacy. So you give the money to the entrepreneurs, they keep the money by inflating asset classes. You know, they basically buy off each other, real estate, stocks, whatever else, and the money doesn't go down to the wages, to the capital expenditures. So there's a new set of incentives out there that are trying to make sure that entrepreneurs spend this money. And if they don't, they'll get taxed. And then the tax money will do this, that will redistribute. So I think a lot of people are very much in favor now of UBI, which was, you know, considered communistic, socialistic, etc. There are people with YouTube channels that run like 3 or 4 videos a day, the hundreds of thousands of people, about UBI and how successful it is and stimulus checks, etc. So I think in this the country, the United States, is moving towards the idea that maybe this isn't communistic. Maybe this is needed because we have a country where, you know, technology is basically disrupting so much that an average person who doesn't have a college education and is not up with the times, he gets so much left behind that he turns to addictive behavior or crime or poverty, and he can't escape it. So if the government is that rich, and if society is that rich, we can redistribute this. So this is, it's not my opinion. I'm just reflecting what's happening. And so this is also key. And I think these three themes are going to stay with us. I know you have a bunch of other questions, but I just think for the most part, reopening is upon us. People are going to get those jabs. And, you know, even the conspiracists, and by the time this is all over, anyone that's not like 100% anti-vaccines will understand that it's probably beneficial for him, even if he has some doubt, to take it, because there's going to be a lot of restrictions on your life if you don't, and some decisions you're just not comfortable with and you have to make it, right? It's just the way it is. We actually put a lot of content on this on, if you go to our website, to wealthresearchgroup.com, and you'll see on the top menu, you'll see a tab called Special Reports. Those are loaded with great content about these things and you know, what happened with crypto, what happened with, you know, vaccines and whatnot, and with Biden. So some good stuff to check out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you just mentioned. Yeah, on the healthcare, I mean, that could probably be a 3-hour episode right there of all the stuff that's happening there. My only comment on that, just from a high level view already, from big picture, is there's probably so many international laws being broken simultaneously that has been in place since the Geneva Convention. It's astounding. So that said, the other stuff that you mentioned is we have a framework, because there's so many resets. People think, as you mentioned, reset money and maybe politics, policy, and healthcare, right? I'm at a list of like 11 of them, which I shared as a framework just for folks to take a look at. And maybe I'll just mention them. And maybe there'll be a couple I know for sure that you definitely want to comment on. So we put money on there. I'm one of those nerds that watch the Bank of International Settlements live stream and watch watch all the central bankers talk online, which
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, they took that off, by the way. But yeah, the reset, it's not available on YouTube anymore. But they essentially said exactly that there's a reset coming with digital currencies and so forth. Yeah, I guess I came out right. I do watch those things in my spare time to stay ahead of it. But money, banking, and financial debt, the massive amounts of debt, the economy, which you touched on a little bit too, the tax increases. I mean, hey, if you're a business and you survive 2020 and barely scrape by, we're going to raise your taxes because we love you. So they definitely, there's, and by the way, Amazon and Facebook and all those guys are not going to pay taxes. So there's definitely something, if you wanted to destroy literally what's left, that's what you would do. You would raise taxes. And then the other thing that's happening in the United States is they increased the amount of IRS agents to go after small businesses, and then going to increase their auditing by 50% because they're for you. They really want to support you guys and get back on your feet, right? Real estate, which I know we wanted to talk on, food, education, politics, we spoke about quickly, society and control structure. I know you tackled money a little bit and the reset there with Bitcoin first. So what else are you seeing there in 2021 with regards to money, banking, financial debt? And then maybe we'll touch on the economy after that.
I'll give you a big one.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest reset that we've seen is in globalization, because think about what just happened. We had a pandemic that started as an epidemic in China. And instead of the world trying to solve this together, we saw countries blaming each other, closing down the borders altogether, treating the web, like information, differently. Europe, different approach to the internet. China, very different approach to the United States. We saw, you know, all these kinds of misinformation out there, conspiracies on the conspiracies. People went from this is very legitimate to this is very fake very quickly. And for the most part, you did not see any G7 meeting to solve a global crisis in any G20 meeting. This is the rejection of globalization. Like every country said, okay, enough. The supply chains are done. Everything that's like global, it can't work. We just saw the fragility of just-in-time supply chain. So the United States, what does it want to do? It wants to do this. Every big city, about 2 hours out of the city, rural, got all this land. Let's build huge facilities, automated, fully mechanized, 21st century 3D. And everything this New York City needs can be 2 hours away. You need food, you need to grow. Just do it there. Find a cost-effective way to do it. The arbitrage between Asia and America has closed down a lot. It's not like America is slave labor, but with China now being much richer and everything else that has to do with it, if you build something that's automated, if you look at the big cost of it and the fact that you can create many high-paying jobs in engineering and robotics and coding and so America wants to be this leader now in all of these areas and wants to be more independent. That's something that you need to think about, because now you got China and the United States in a race with each other, very much like what the Soviet Union and the United States had. But China is not a communistic country. Even though many Americans look at it that way, because it has a very central government, if you go there, the capitalistic entrepreneurs are running the show, basically. They have much more government to deal with, but it's not a communist country, but it's just not. So all these things, they play into how you need to think about your career, your investments, and real estate. Because if you think about real estates, then there are new cities and new areas where people are flocking to. That's where opportunity is. So that's why that's important for real estate. And by the way, 75 million millennials are now making up 33% of the workforce. They're going to be 75% of the workforce by 2032. So, you know, wherever they are, that's where you should be if you're a real estate investor, because those guys do not have homes. They're not married. They don't have kids for the most part. You know what I mean? They're just getting into that big earning years. Now they're going to spend, they're going to originate mortgages with, you know, interest rates at all-time lows. And a very tight real estate market. Think about that. Be there. Do your research and be there, right? When it comes to your career, I mean, there's so much more flexibility with working from home and so many new professions, niche professions that you can look into. And obviously now working from home is not frowned upon. So if you love it, now's the time to, okay. And then three is investments. And man, have we seen some epic. You know what? If you go to wealthresearchgroup.com and click on that top menu where it says watch lists, we put out 8 watch lists since April 2020 and until February of 2021, the last one. And they're all packed with companies that we've looked at, done our own work. And you have companies in there that were up 600-700% in a matter of 2-3 months because of this rotation, you know, to companies that can deal with what was happening with, and now it's changing. So, you know, investments have been, and obviously Bitcoin, I mean, what more can, so you have seen some things here, which were amazing. We saw companies that went from 10 cents to like $4 or $5. These are stories that were real in the last few months. So, you know, that's kind of the value of, that's what I've seen that I like. I'm more of a hunter of information, like a sources of information, than a hunter of deals. For me to hunt a fund manager that can manage my money or a source, a reliable source, that to me is much a better use of my time, MC, than trying to find a deal. You can look for weeks for a deal, an under the radar deal, blah, blah, or you can spend that time looking for a source of deals, a source of information. So, and I found that so valuable that I doubled down on the content in our own newsletter, because I said, look, that is exactly what people look for. So if I already hunted down the best sources and I can share them, I think that has a lot of value. So deglobalization, really big.
And then the big part of that too is to figure out where the money's flowing to, right? Because essentially what has happened in the States too, and globally, is money was created. You've had all these stimulus packages, monstrosities of them. But there will probably be more, but then the money's rolled out. But where does it go first? Well, it hits the top first, right? So what do big banks do? What do the ultra wealthy do that gets access to the trough first? They buy assets. They go and buy assets. So the money that they're getting at the top is flowing somewhere, and you've seen a huge spike in asset prices, stocks going up, Bitcoin going up, some real estate going up, all of the asset classes. And then it kind of, the rest kind of, eventually when they send direct checks to people, that whole, the money is already inflated by then. The asset prices has already made the move. They're starting to see other prices increase. I mean, you would fall off your chair if you go to a local store now in the States and see what you pay for food. So you kind of have the Cantillion effect in full force there. And then the folks that that get access to that trough later is just trying to basically survive. So the whole thing of the game is for investors, you know, I see it usually is, where does the money go, as you mentioned? And then you figure out the sources that are in the space where all this newly created dollars or euros or pounds, or, you know, you pick your poison, where it's flowing to, right?
25% of the world's currency that has ever been created was created in 2020. That's it's an unprecedented amount. The money markets are filled with cash. So most people, when you ask what most people do with their stimulus check, most people save them. Most people put them idly in their bank accounts right now, because they're like, this is expensive, this is expensive, this, what can I do? Just park it and wait. So I think that is really the danger, because we still don't know where the money is going to flow to. Are they going to just spend it on vacations? So put it in the real economy. Are they going to go and purchase real estate? Are they going to go and purchase stocks? This is like $6 or $7 trillion. So it's a big chunk. And with fractional reserve banking, it's many more. So I think that's a key. Where is it going? And what you see with, at least with the millennials, which are the most important group right now, because their life is in front of them, right? The baby boomers, if they save, what are they going to spend it on? They're not going to buy a house, right? They have a house. They're not going to buy a car. No, the millennials are where the spending power and the spending habits are going to be formed. So think about that. Think about that in the context of companies that you invest in the context of the real estate that you in your career, because wherever they go, that's where all that money it's going to flow through. It's like a garden hose. Then you try to shove a basketball inside of it. So we're, you know, wherever it touches, it's going to expand that, and there's going to be opportunity there. So I think that's essentially the key. The danger is that the money velocity will start to pick up to a point where there's dangerous inflation. I personally do not see that. I think we will have like instances where it will look like that, but it will fade. The United States only had really big inflation events after big currency resets. So unless we have a currency reset, like in the 1910s when the Fed was formed, or in the 70s when Nixon decoupled gold from the currency, we're going to have higher inflation than in the 2010s, that's for sure, but not out of hand, not something that is going to be detrimental. I think what's most important is how you place yourself within this, because leave alone for a second government debt. That's, you know, it's a big problem, et cetera. But the entrepreneurial opportunities of this decade are massive, because we, the only time that's similar to this was early 80s, where the boomers were basically the millennials, same time frame, same everything. They were about to buy homes, about to get into, and you saw a 20-year boom with tech and the internet and innovation and whatnot. So we're in a good spot, and you need to figure your place within this matrix. So I'm really excited about it. And I think that what's going to separate the winners from the losers in this decade is how fast you're going to be able to swing, because I think the changes are going to be really quick. If you think about just the changes in the EVs, right? Huge industry. Just getting started. Cannabis could be federally legalized in the next year or two. Huge opportunity there, right? Tech, you know, disruptive technologies, massive opportunities. Obviously, look, just think about this. Your town, does it have a lot of Bitcoin ADMs now? It doesn't. Will it have in 1 year? Yes. Will people, you know, getting involved in this business have massive opportunity? Absolutely. You can manufacture them, work on the software, get people there, all the satellite businesses. That is where people need to be. And then content like this, that's the wave of the future. 7 out of every 10 investors look online at chats, at forums, at Reddit, Wall Street Bets, right? Before they make a decision. So I think people that are involved with content providing and are likable, they should blog for sure, even as a secondary career. Blog, share your ideas with the world, because if you are likable, it's very monetizable.
Yeah, lots of good stuff there. Because yeah, to your point, with all the craziness that's going on, I continue to say that, folks, this is like the most exciting time to ever be alive. We literally, you and I, are in different parts of the world. We are having a conversation, you know, basically like. I use the analogy like Star Trek, you know, remember the telescreen exactly. Coming up? We literally now have Star Trek technology and it's free. I used to, when I came to the United States, I had to walk down to the 7-Eleven, buy calling cards just to call my parents. And then the calling cards run out and you got to run back and buy another one. It starts beeping. Oh, we're out again. Now we have a conversation for free. Through FaceTime, you know, Skype, Zoom, whatever you're utilizing. So we're literally at a very, very exciting time with technology-wise. Demographics, you know, you have the millennials in the same spot that the boomers were in the early 80s. And then you have an emerging technology like the internet, right? In the internet in the 90s, in the 2000s. So now you've got a massive rollout of technology, AI, robotics, electric vehicles, 5G, the Internet of Things, 3D printing. I mean, it's nuts. It's going to transform the economy. And as you mentioned, if you could position yourself and see the opportunities that there are, I couldn't think of any other time to be living than now on this spinning ball of dirt that we all inhabit, right?
Yes, yes. No, it's very exciting for sure. I think MC, if you want to look at like how to recap this whole thing, we wouldn't have never volunteered to test what we've had to all endure in 2020. It was a big test, a laboratory. Like people went home, closed down, restrictions, all this stuff. that the company would have never voted to do. Like if we said, well, let's do a big experiment here. So we've tested a lot of things. We know now what people are really addicted to because you took it away from them and then you see what they're going back to, what's important to them, what they were able to replace in their lives. And so think about that as well. Think also as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as an employee, as a person looking for a secondary, you know, income stream, et cetera. What are people really, you know, couldn't live without now? And go and find a way to provide that to them. I also like the fact that a lot of these big companies, they allow thousands of people to join in on their explosion. Like there are like, I think 10,000 millionaires from Amazon in the UK alone. You know what I mean? So I also think that's kind of the wave of the future as well. Well, the business is already set up for you. Just come in and find your niche within like an operating system.
Absolutely. What's the what's your take on gold and silver? We haven't touched on that, where that plays in and some of the opportunities, because you've covered a lot of especially mining companies in those space too, and have covered that a lot in your research.
Sure. We covered an IPO of a company that went public like in July 2020. It was $1.40. Now it's about $5. So definitely a lot of companies in that area of gold and silver had a good rally in the last few months. But gold has had the worst first quarter since 1982. It's the worst performing asset class of 2021. That's because yields are exploding for government bonds. And so what I think will happen next is, and by the way, with gold, with physical gold, my take is if you don't own it, you should own some. How much should you own? My take, try to exchange 2 years worth of your living expenses into physical gold and silver. So if you burn $5,000 on your family unit in a single month, put $120,000 into physical gold. That is not to compete with your stocks, with your real estate, et cetera. That is to compete with your cash. And you will see the gold wins over time. I think with silver, it's more of a trade, right? When there's inflation out there, or if there's an opportunity with if silver's down hard, you can trade it. You can trade the because it go right. So gold for the long term, silver more as a trade. Mining companies, absolutely just boom and bust. It's not a buy and hold. It's a buy really, really, really low and sell a bit later. I wouldn't even want to tell you to sell high because it's just these are the types of places where you can make 30, 40, 50% in a matter of a few weeks or a few months, but they come up every couple of years or three or four. It's not all the time. You can't just be looking at them. Very small part of the portfolio, but we do cover them. We do cover, you know, specific ones when we feel it's an opportune time.
So we've talked a little bit about cash, gold and silver. We talked about Bitcoin. We talked about other areas or even just companies or spaces, right, that money can go into, biotech, you know, purely technology, stocks, cannabis, that kind of stuff. From an overall portfolio, what would you look at just from a philosophical standpoint to tell folks, I think the gold thing is great, 2 years of living expenses and that, because you know that's, you know, it's as good as gold,
right,
2 years of expenses, right? What would you share with regards of building a strategy for 2021?
Okay. So I think you should look at least for your stocks. That's what I do, right? Let's say you have 100%. You put about 30% in the S&P 500. Forget about it. Just let it sit there for the rest of your life. Put another 20%, 20 to 30% in the NASDAQ. Just let it sit there, run for the rest of your life. And don't just buy the whole thing in one foul swoop. Every time there's a correction of 2, 3%, nibble. Nibble, nibble, nibble until you have about 30% of your stock portfolio in the S&P and about 20 to 25% in the NASDAQ. Take the other 50% and start buying a portfolio of about 50 companies where you own about 1% in each. That's what I do. Now, the way I do that is if I can't find 50 companies, then I buy 1% of this company. If it goes down, then I buy a little more. And I increase that to up to 2%. Therefore, I have a portfolio of about 25 companies at all times. And I have an exit strategy with each of them. If there's something that materializes with that company and the markets like it, then I'm out, because most of the gravy has now been taken off of it. I'm out. And I find another company that has the same idea as the last one. Again, literally, my portfolio, if you go to wealthresearchgroup.com/watchlist or to our website and just click that top menu tab that says watchlist, you can look at my portfolio by downloading the special reports. And we even put a limit order, like what I use. So this is literally what I do. So very transparent.
Awesome. And then you also have gold and silver, obviously.
I would say the stock portfolio is about 70%, 60 to 70%. An additional 20% is real estate. And the rest is alternatives. So about 30% is alternatives. And above that, I always like to keep cash. So definitely no margin for me. Don't like it. Don't expect to like it ever. Don't see a reason why I should like it. I love cash personally. So no drama and all that kind of stuff. With gold, like I said, that's my strategy. Crypto is basically the same thing. About 2 years worth of my living expenses. Nothing, don't need to do more than that. Right now, obviously, 10 years ago, something else. But right now, I mean, it's known, it's more developed, et cetera, et cetera.
It's this concept of having a stable of horses, right? I came up with an analogy the other day too, where you have your everyday horse, your workhorse, which is just the horse that you put your buggy on and you hook a plow on to work, your cash.
That's a nice strategy.
It's there.
Nice
you analogy. Use it every day. It's just your workhorse.
Yeah.
Then you've got your war horse, right? When the bullets start flying, the
exactly.
horse, there's a movie too. I think it was a book that turned into a movie about the war horse, right? I think it was a World War I, but they put their head down and they just keep going when the bullets go. And that's your gold. That's your gold and your silver. And then you've got your show pony, your fastest horse, which is your cryptos, your BTC and so forth.
That's a good analogy. I might steal that thing.
So if you have your stable of horses, if your show pony goes really fast and breaks a leg, then you still have your war horse and your everyday horse, right? But yeah, it's great. I appreciate you sharing that too with the stocks, just how you allocate that and then your overall portfolio. So you have a full stable of a lot of different horses and a lot of doing a lot of different things, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Awesome. Where can folks learn more about you? Where can they follow you? And where can they get access to the reports that you put out? And you have a free mailing list too, which is you put out a ton of content on that too, weekly.
Yeah. Well, wealthresearchgroup.com is the website. That's where you can also subscribe to the newsletter. That's basically where everything happens in the newsletter.
Perfect. That's where the magic happens. Thank you so much for coming on the show again and sharing your insights of what's going on during this very interesting time in the world. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much, Mikhail.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again on the show. As I mentioned before, there's so much happening. There's a lot of doom and gloom. Very fair with solid fact patterns. But with solid fact patterns, you'll also see that there's enormous opportunity, probably some of the greatest opportunities that have existed ever right now, which you can capitalize on. So if you want to be on the right side of this enormous wealth transfer, we created a program, cashflowninja.com/core. You can join it there. Until next time, live infinitely.
presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.